This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Wednesday, June 13th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O at sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today. First stop, of course, Oklahoma City. Game one of the NBA Finals. Looked like the Heat early on had it under control. They had a lead of 13. They were still up 7 at the half. But Oklahoma City totally turned it around in the second half. Oklahoma City 105, Miami Heat 94. Oklahoma City leads the finals, of course, 1-0. And I thought the key, and it'll take us back to Game 3 of the San Antonio series, the key is Coach Scott Brooks putting Thabo Sefolosha this time on LeBron in the fourth quarter, last time in Game 3 of San Antonio, on Tony Parker. And this guy, Sefolosha, is just unbelievable. I don't think anybody had any idea. Maybe if you watch Oklahoma City every day. But this guy is an intense, concentrated, tough-minded defender. And he held LeBron. Yes, LeBron scored 7 in a quarter, and you think, well, 7 in a quarter, that's not bad. But LeBron was 2-for-7 in the fourth quarter after really torching Kevin Durant. I mean, Durant was torching everybody, so you could say that's a wash. But the difference in the game, the thing that turned around the game, the thing that had Oklahoma City outscoring Miami 31-21 in the fourth to win by 11 was, without question, Sefolosha contesting everything that LeBron James did. Now, Durant was Durant, superstar the whole bit, 12-for-20, including 4-for-8 from 3, 36 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. Westbrook was very good, and again, I said before the series, to me, Westbrook is the key. I picked Miami under the little more experience, little more age, Wade with a championship, LeBron to the finals now for the third time. But the caveat there was if Westbrook plays really well, then Oklahoma City is going to be very hard to beat. And Westbrook yesterday still shoots too much, in my opinion. It should never, the scoreboard, the box score should never say more shots for Westbrook than Durant. I don't care how hot he is. But Durant goes 12-for-20. Westbrook goes 10-for-24. But he stuffed the stats. 27 points, 11 assists, 8 rebounds. I mean, he made some big shots. He made some big plays. Sefolosha, of course, you look at the box score, only 9 points, but that's not what he does. Collison was very good with 8 points and 10 rebounds, including a couple of big baskets late. And if you watched ESPN this morning, you saw how Collison was always helping Sefolosha or whomever was checking LeBron. That extra guy coming to help really hurt LeBron in the fourth quarter. Derek Fisher, also a tough guy, 3-for-5 from the floor, 6 points. I mean, Oklahoma City, again, I still think Westbrook's the wild card. They say it's all about LeBron or it's all about Durant. I just don't think that's true. James, 11-for-24 from the field, but again, only 2-for-7 in the fourth quarter. 30 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals. Wade did not have a good game. Wade's kind of a wild card, has a bad first half, finishes 7-for-19, 19 points, 8 assists, 4 rebounds. Battier was big early with a bunch of threes. He scored 17, and I thought that would be enough. That's what they needed. But if James and Wade and Bosch, who was only 4-for-11, frankly, don't play really well, I mean, James played really well, but Wade and Bosch did not. Bosch, 4-for-11, shooting 10 points, 5 rebounds. The real issue now, I think, is whether they're going to put Bosch into the starting lineup. Can they afford to kind of bring him back in slowly? He played 33 minutes yesterday. They're going to need him to score. They're going to need him to open up the middle for James and Wade to slash to the basket. When you have Battier standing there at the three-point line, or Haslam not really an offensive threat, they're going to pack, Oklahoma City's going to pack it in and cause problems, frankly, for James and Wade. For whatever reason, in plenty of games in the playoffs, Dwayne Wade has been unable to get off in the first half, with rare exception. Despite that, Miami was up by 7, but it was the old, if you were Oklahoma City at the end of the first half, you were not real unhappy that you were down 7, because you were only down 7. It could have been 12 or 14 or 16. And then they got it all back in the third quarter, and then they ran away with it in the fourth quarter. Durant with 17 points in the fourth quarter. Oklahoma City with a 24-4 fast break advantage. Think about that when you got LeBron and Wade out in the perimeter on the fast break. They just couldn't generate offense on the fast break. And although Battier played real well, Chalmers 5-for-7 for 12 points, Wade and Bosch have to play really well. They don't have to play great, but they have to play really well. And frankly, neither of them did. Combined 11-for-30 from the floor. And they even let Bosch, I thought, take a couple of threes. He was 1-for-3 yesterday. Again, the reason to me Oklahoma City is in the finals is because they put Cephalosha on Parker. The reason Miami's in the finals is because Bosch went wild in Game 7. Even LeBron James said after the game, if Bosch doesn't do what he did, 18 points, 3-for-4 from 3, they don't win that game. So you can make a case that neither of these teams, although they were two favorites at the beginning of the season, although a lot of people picked them, you can make a case that neither of them should be in the finals. But I thought Miami could steal one in Game 1. Other people were saying that Miami would have to get used to the speed of the Thunder. I don't think it was that at all. Again, they were up 13 early. I thought it was more Thunder rusty than Miami being unable to keep up with the speed of the Thunder. James Harden, a non-factor, so that speaks well for Oklahoma City. 2-for-6, 5 points. Harden plays like that, and they still win by 11. But again, if you watch the game, Harden barely played in the fourth quarter. Why? Because they wanted to go more defensive. They wanted to have Cephalosha on LeBron. They wanted to have Derek Fisher, tough-minded. Yes, not quick of foot anymore. But you're not real worried about your point guard going off when you play Miami. Chalmers is a nice player, but he's not Tony Parker. So I think you might see Fisher in crunch time. 5 rings, I'm shocked that he's making the plays he's making. You knew he would bring leadership to the locker room. You thought he could be a calming influence on Russell Westbrook. But I don't think anybody thought he had this in him in terms of being a major contributor. And I mean major contributor. 3-for-5 yesterday, 6 points, 3 rebounds, and an assist. But more importantly, when you look at the box score, you don't see what Cephalosha did, how he made James work. You don't see Fisher's contribution, the great help defender and the tough guy. Collison was 4-for-5, but he hit big buckets. You don't see all the, I saw 5 at least, where he came over and helped when Cephalosha was guarding James and made it difficult for James to shoot. James isn't going to dominate Cephalosha. Wade and Bosch are going to have to pick it up. I picked Miami to win this series, but again, I thought Westbrook, of the big six, if you will, the big three for each team, I thought Westbrook was the wild card. And he played really well yesterday. Again, 27 points, 11 assists, 8 rebounds, almost a triple-double in his first finals game, and he's 23 years old, or 22 years old. So he still is the wild card, but he certainly didn't show nerves. And again, I think that's partly Derek Fisher. That's partly Durant keeping that relationship. If you hear Durant speak about Westbrook, he never says, this guy's, at least not publicly, this guy's the mad bomber, I need the ball, even though everybody else says it. So he's allowed Westbrook to be his running partner and at least publicly hasn't criticized him for his, I don't know, poor judgment at times. But look, the guy only had 2 turnovers yesterday, Russell Westbrook. That's fantastic. And I think he was the key, along with Cephalosha on LeBron in the fourth quarter. When you can point to a coach making a move that turns around a series like Scott Brooks did in San Antonio by putting Cephalosha Parker in game three, changed the series. Parker had 34 in game two and 8 assists. Changed the series. That rarely happens. But now, obviously, he can. This guy, Cephalosha, is so good defensively that he can guard Dwayne Wade at the beginning of the game, and he can guard LeBron James at the end of the game, and he can neutralize Tony Parker. There are very, very, very few players in the NBA. I'll make a case at some point for Cephalosha as the MVP if Oklahoma City wins. Of course, he'll never get it. But know this. If not for Cephalosha shutting down, neutralizing Tony Parker, Oklahoma City doesn't even make the finals. So it's going to be an exciting series. As everybody jumped off the Oklahoma City bandwagon after their two losses in San Antonio, you know the rules. The Thunder is supposed to win at home. So all they've done is protect home court advantage. Now, with a 2-3-2 system, that's the other thing I'll talk about briefly. With a 2-3-2 system, that's bad for Miami. Because I don't think Miami's going to win three games in a row. You got to assume they're going to get two or three at home. So if you like Miami, they got to get one in Oklahoma City. Now it's going to be game two. Win two or three at home and then go back and try and win game six. A lot of people are picking Miami in seven. That I don't understand. If you go back to Oklahoma City for game six and don't beat them in game six, doesn't strike me like you can beat them in game seven. Again, just my opinion. But 2-3-2, very unfair to the visiting team, very fair to the home team, Oklahoma City. But I think it's going to be a fantastic series. Again, Miami trying to steal one in Oklahoma City. I thought they could steal the first one. And certainly in the first half, it looked like they were going to steal the first one. But Oklahoma City really turned it around. The key move against Cephalosha, guarding LeBron. They're going to have to do something, screens, double screens. They've got to get that switch to get Cephalosha off him. And again, he didn't stop him per se, and he got help from Collison, but he made everything tough. And when you make everything tough, even for a great player like LeBron, unless it's one of those magical nights like Game 6 against the Celtics, when he had those 45, unless it's one of those nights, he's going to miss shots. And that's what he did. He was 9-for-17 before the fourth quarter. Obviously better than 50%. He was 2-for-7 in the fourth quarter. Obviously that's 29%. That, I think, was the difference in the game. And again, if you're Oklahoma City, you're taking great pleasure out of the fact that Harden was not Harden, and you still won by 11. Now, they drew away very late. It was, you know, a six-point game most of the fourth quarter. But you never had the sense that the Thunder were really in trouble once they took that lead in the middle of the fourth quarter. So give Oklahoma City and Scott Brooks all the credit. But again, if you're a Miami guy, I'm not a big Miami fan, but I like Miami to win the series on the experience factor. If you think Miami's going to win or if you're rooting for Miami, what do you say? Well, we almost stole one, but they just protected home court advantage. But again, on the back end with those three games, I don't think Miami's beaten Oklahoma City three games in a row in Miami. That's why if you're the visitor, you prefer the 2-2-1-1-1. 2-3-2 is really unfair. Now, maybe people will say, well, the home team with the better record should get that advantage, and maybe that's true. That would be the argument. But in the perfect world, it would be 1-1-1-1-1-1-1. You'd have 7-1 games. But obviously, for travel reasons, I don't think they've ever done that. It's always been 2-2-1-1-1 or 2-3-2. So the Thunder lead 1-0. Game 2 tomorrow night in Oklahoma City. We'll just have to wait and see until Miami can steal one then. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
With nearly experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose lots by Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
This is a referral service. Calls will be routed to an independent referral insurance agency.
Listen up, America!
Listen up, America. I'm talking to anyone with or without a pre-existing medical condition. A health insurance hotline has now been established to provide health insurance for all Americans, even uninsured Americans with pre-existing conditions. Call now for a free, no-obligation quote on affordable health plans available to you. 1-800-690-6110. I repeat, this is a hotline providing free quotes for affordable health plans. It's for anyone without health insurance, even if you have pre-existing conditions. Medical costs are the number one cause of bankruptcy and financial distress. All uninsured Americans are strongly urged to call this National Health Insurance Hotline right away to protect yourself and your family from an unexpected variety of medical costs that could cause financial hardship. Call the Health Insurance Hotline right now for a free quote at 1-800-690-6110. That's 1-800-690-6110. Call 1-800-690-6110.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. A couple of final notes on game one. Oklahoma City outscored Miami 58-41 in the 58-40 in the second half, and Durant and Westbrook alone outscored the Miami Heat 41-40 in the second half. Again, to hold the Miami Heat defensively by Oklahoma City, you could talk about the big three and their great offense, but to hold them defensively to 40 points and a half is very, very impressive. And that goes to Cephalosha and Ibaka and Nick Collison and Perkins and guys like that. So give Oklahoma City all the credit. They're up one game to nothing. Wanted to just take a minute to put a bow on the NHL season. Devils had turned it around, had won two in a row, were down 3-2, went out to Los Angeles where the Kings seemed more... It seemed like you had an easier time beating the Kings in Los Angeles than you did whenever the Kings were on the road, as they won like their first 10 before they finally lost one in New Jersey. But certainly... going back to Los Angeles, if the Devils could get a win and force a Game 7 in New Jersey, that might, you know, could have led to one of the greatest collapses ever. But you rarely see this happen, but Steve Bernier got a major penalty in the first period for boarding Rob Scuderi. It was an ugly hit. I'm not a Devils guy or a Kings guy, but it deserved to be a major. Obviously, he drew blood from Scuderi, but really it was a bad hit. Bernier, who's not viewed to be a dirty player, said after the game, look, I had him lined up, and then at the last second he turned. I guess you have to be real, real careful. What happened just 6 or 7 seconds earlier, which was not mentioned by many people, certainly by Devils fans it was, but Gianta was certainly boarded as well and or cross-checked into the sideboards literally 6 or 7 seconds before the penalty, the 5-minute major on the jersey, was called. So the point being, had they called that prior 2-minute boarding penalty when Gianta got hit, Gianta of the Devils, of course, that other hit wouldn't have happened. But what happened for the Devils was not only a disaster, but the end of their Stanley Cup hopes, as the Kings scored not one, not two, but three goals in a five-minute power play. Of course, you know, if it's a two-minute penalty and the other team scores, the guy comes out of the box. But if it's a five-minute major, you can score as many goals as you can score. And I think it's very rare to score three goals on a five-minute major. But that's exactly what Los Angeles did. Now, it was the first period, but for all intents and purposes, especially the way Jonathan Quick had been playing all during the playoffs, the game was over. Dustin Brown scored his eighth of the playoffs. Jeff Carter then tipped in a Dustin Brown shot, and Trevor Lewis scored three goals in less than 4 minutes, all during the five-minute power play. Carter made it 4-0 with his second goal of the game in his eighth of the playoffs. Adam Henrique, who had a great rookie year and a great playoffs for the Devils, scored. Peter Sikora got an assist. It was good. I don't know why they, you know, that Peter Sikora didn't play at all in the playoffs, and then they put him in the finals, and I thought he played very well in the last few games. The aging veteran, if you will, of the New Jersey Devils. But that's as close as they could get. They actually pulled Brodeur correctly, I think. You know, you're down 4-1, you're facing elimination, it'll take a miracle, you got to score three goals. So they pulled him like with 4 minutes, maybe even a little more than 4 minutes left in the game. But Trevor Lewis got his second of the game, empty net, or his third of the playoffs to make it 5-1. And then Matt Green scored late to make it 6-1. Kings 6, New Jersey 1. The Kings power play had not been that good, but on that five-minute power play, it was not good. It was great as they scored three. Jonathan Quick, not surprisingly, you know, I was surprised early on. Barry Melrose, even in the finals, said, yeah, I think Dustin Brown's the Conn Smythe winner. I didn't agree with that at all. I don't think most people did. Jonathan Quick was just fantastic in goal from beginning to end for the Los Angeles Kings. He deserved the Conn Smythe Trophy, and that is the MVP for the entire playoffs, not just the finals. He deserved it, and he got it. Los Angeles 6, New Jersey 1. Los Angeles Kings win their first Stanley Cup. A few miscellaneous notes, and then we'll do a little baseball. Couple of legal notes. The Roger Clemens trial, the defense rested. The prosecution and defense gave their closing statements. The case is now in the hands of the jury. That's down in Washington, D.C., of course. And it's a six-count federal indictment for perjury, false statements, and obstruction of Congress. I wrote an article that should be up at sportstalknetwork.com that discusses what I think is going to happen, which is I think Clemens is going down on at least one count. And given what this judge said at the prior trial, that if Clemens is convicted, I'll most likely send him to jail. I think he might do some jail time. But we'll have to wait, obviously, for the jury decision. As that case is ending, the disgusting, graphic Jerry Sandusky trial started in Bellefonte, Pennsylvania. And, you know, that's going to be just, you know, you don't want to prejudge these cases, but how can this guy not be guilty, charged with 52 counts, the worst being sexual deviant behavior with a minor? The testimony was graphic and bad yesterday, as Mike McQuarrie, the guy who discovered Sandusky in a shower room allegedly having sex with a 10- or 12-year-old boy, he testified, one of the victims testified. It's really, I don't know what else to say, it's just really disgusting, but that trial is just getting underway as the Clemens trial ends. And, you know, I hate to say it, but that's the nature in sports now. These things, there's one of these things or more of these things going on virtually all the time. A couple of sports miscellaneous notes. Andre Ethier signed an $85 million extension with the Dodgers and then went out and had a great game last night. And golf, the U.S. Open starts on Thursday. At the lake course at Olympic right outside of San Francisco. Can Tiger Woods turn around and win a major? I don't think so, but many people do. Again, we'll just have to wait and see. That starts tomorrow. I know the first two rounds are on ESPN before it goes to network television over the weekend, but that's the U.S. Open, one obviously of the four golf majors. Want to go quickly to some baseball, a few interesting games. The first-place Nationals, and what can you say? They're the first-place Nationals. They're 37-23. The Nationals beat the Blue Jays 4-2. Bryce Harper, the hitting star, 3-for-4, a mammoth home run, a run scored, an RBI. Harper hitting .307 now is all everybody said he would be. He's been unbelievable. Espinosa, 2-for-4 with 2 RBIs, including his 6th home run of the year. And in one of those things that are interesting to see, Jonathan Solano hit his first Major League home run ever for the Nationals. When he goes back to the dugout, he gets the silent treatment, everybody acting like nothing happens, and then, of course, they mob him. Harper's been unbelievable, over .360 in his last 19 games now. Nationals 4, Toronto 2. The White Sox beat the Cardinals 6-1. Adam Dunn hits his 21st home run of the year. The Giants beat the Astros 6-3. Madison Bumgarner, the very good lefty for the Giants, hits his first ever home run and strikes out 12. Just an unbelievable pitching performance. Another interesting game, the Yankees and the Braves. The Braves jump out to a 4-0 lead. And then in the 8th inning, this is what the Yankees do. You know, in the old days, they called the Yankees 5 o'clock lightning because they could strike so quickly late in the game. These are back in the days of Mantle and Berra, et cetera. But yesterday, they had their own. I don't know what time it was, but in the 8th inning, the Yankees score 6 runs. A-Rod hits a grand slam, his 23rd lifetime, tying Lou Gehrig for the all-time career leadership. And, of course, you got to assume he's going to beat the great Gehrig at some point. And then right after that, in the same inning, Nick Swisher hits a 2-run homer. So it goes from Braves 4, Yankees nothing, to Yankees 6, Braves 4. And, again, that was whatever it was, 10 o'clock lightning, 11 o'clock lightning. One other interesting game, Tampa Bay takes a 2-1 lead over the Mets, of course. Tampa Bay and the Yankees fighting for first place. The Mets actually do their hated rivals, the Yankees, a favor. After going down 2-1 to the Rays, they score 10 unanswered, and they beat Tampa Bay in Tampa Bay 11-2. Ike Davis, who's been slaughtered in New York, just hasn't been able to hit a breaking ball since the first day of the season. He hits his 6th home run of the year, goes 2-for-5. He goes 2-for-4. He's only hitting .174, but he did have 3 RBIs and a walk yesterday. Mets 11, Rays 2. Chris Young got his first win in over a year, missed all of last season. 5 2/3, 9 hits, 2 earned runs against Tampa Bay. Couple of other games quickly. Andre Ethier with 2 RBIs. Juan Rivera with a big home run. Dodgers 5, Angels 2. And one other game to talk about quickly, the first-place Orioles, or I should say close to the first-place Orioles now, Tampa, the Yankees, the Orioles, all very close. They beat the Pirates, Orioles 35-26, Pirates 32-28, Orioles 8, Pirates 6. Chen gets the win, he's 5-2. Lincoln takes the loss. Walker and McGee, homer for Pittsburgh. Jones hits his 18th, having a heck of a year for Baltimore. Davis his 11th. Reynolds hits his 4th. Baltimore's been playing out of their minds. I don't think they're going to last. Red Sox beat the Marlins 2-1. Buchholz now 7-2. Burley drops to 5-7. Aceves gets the save, his 15th of the year. Miami's only run on a Logan Morrison home run, his 5th of the year. TV tonight, Yankees at the Braves, 7 o'clock Eastern on the YES Network nationally. Mets at Tampa Bay, 7 o'clock Eastern on the Mets Network, SNY. That's your baseball for tonight. Obviously, hockey's over. No basketball tonight. That'll be tomorrow night, Game 2, Miami at Oklahoma City. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Thanks for listening to SportsTalkNetwork.com.